You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? We're live. That's right. That's another Miami Dolphins First Down Podcast with Steven Daniels and First Down guest Josh Moser.
I know the whole city
what is going on? How y'all doing today?
What's up, man? Josh Moser, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to take you off mute, my bad. What's going on?
How we doing, everybody?
I mean, we're here. It's been a while. It's been a while since we've done this live.
It's been a week.
Well, look, you're a busy man. You got the Marlins, you got the Heat, the Panthers. You're doing everything. And then draft is right around the corner.
Yeah, but always got to make time for you, Steven, and, of course, everybody at Dolphins Talk.
I love it, man. I love it. If you guys are watching at home, hit the like button, share the link. Every time we are live, when you hit the like button, it helps us. If you're watching us on Facebook, on That's Another Miami Dolphins First Down Podcast. Make sure you guys watch us on I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook group. They're awesome, over 150,000 strong. And also on Twitter and also YouTube, man. Come over to YouTube. If you haven't subscribed, what are you waiting for? It's free. It doesn't cost anything to subscribe. And there are plenty of great podcasts, including the one that's coming on after us tonight, Thin Factor, with Manny, a.k.a. Bearded Fanatic, and Marissa Marino. So make sure you guys check out that podcast right after ours, because we're doing a double dip here on Dolphins Talk tonight. Josh, man, what's going on in the wide world of offseason? Because there just always seems to be some little news or nuggets coming out. What is new in the world of the Miami Dolphins right now?
Tier Tart is the newest signing for the team. He's a true nose tackle, which this team really needs. It's still going to be a base 3-4 defense as we now go through the third defensive coordinator in 3 years, Josh Boyer. And then, of course, Vic Fangio last year, Anthony Weaver takes over. But Tier Tart's really an underrated guy. He went to FIU here in Miami. He's also represented by Drew Rosenhaus, and Drew telling me that he took less money to come here. So that's the same for Braxton Berrios. It's the same for Jordan Poyer. It's the same for Shaq Barrett. So it looks like in the offseason so far, the guys that have signed with Miami have all taken less money to come here. They want to be here, which will really help later in the season. And everything, of course, kind of leading up to the draft. We've touched on this a little bit in the past, but most of the players that the Dolphins have signed were released by their previous teams. And why that's important is it does not count against the compensatory picks. So for the first time in what seems like a long time, the Dolphins have a full slate of draft kit picks, and they'll get a couple more here because they had Christian Wilkins leave, because they had Andrew Van Ginkle leave, Brandon Jones left. So those are extra compensatory picks. And what happens is when you sign some of these free agents, those it cancels out. So now they'll have extra picks, and then we'll start seeing some more free agency or even potentially some moves on draft night. And of course, because that Xavien Howard money comes off the books in June, it's a little bit more spending power for Chris Greer as they look to get this thing fine-tuned and most likely get an extension done with Tua. You know, that's the big question leading up to week number one. And Tua's got his luau coming up on Thursday. So I guess that's the big Dolphins event this week.
Look, there were a lot of great nuggets that you kind of pulled in from there. And by the way, if you're watching us tonight and you want to ask us a question, use the hashtag AskFins to ask us any questions tonight related to the Miami Dolphins. Josh and myself will be more than happy to answer your questions tonight. We want to get a little interactive with our listeners tonight. Here's something that I find very, very interesting, Josh. You talked about them signing players that have been released by other teams. This is something that's very strategic by Chris Greer. Chris Greer, for the last couple of off seasons, we've seen him do different things, right? Actually, the last several off seasons, we saw him make the big trade with San Francisco and Philadelphia to go from 12 to 6 to 3, or 3 to 6. We saw him do a lot of different things when it comes to making a big trade for Tyreek Hill and then being able to get so much value in the Jalen Ramsey trade. Chris Greer, I know he hasn't won a playoff game, but little stuff like when you say he's doing this, like this is something he's doing on purpose, like He's playing chess while everybody else is playing checkers, right?
Right. And look, if you want a big name free agent, you've got to go out and spend. And I mean, look, everybody would have loved Rob Hunt to stay. He's a phenomenal player, but he reset the guard market and they just don't have the type of money to pay him $20 million a season when you've got to pay Tua and you've got all of these other guys with the cap situation that they put themselves in by trading for Tyreek and trading for Bradley Chubb. So luckily, Bradley Chubb restructured, Teron Armstead restructured, Jalen Ramsey has yet to restructure. I know that they're working on a Tyreek Hill restructure to add a year, but nothing official on that yet. So I think once the Xavien Howard money comes into play post that June designation, mm-hmm. we could get something done more likely with Tua. I think, you know, ideally he would like to come into training camp with a new deal, but those things take time. And I wouldn't be surprised if that goes all the way up to week one. But I know fans are saying, look, he's got to stay healthy for another season. He's got to win a playoff game before you pay this guy. Look at Lamar Jackson. He played on a franchise tag. And the question that I have is, who are you going to find better right now for the money that you're going to have to give him anyway?
You're not going to find anybody better.
So if you're able to take a step back and say, okay, we've got a 2 or 3 year plan, what we can give Tua for now is going to be less expensive if he has a great year this year, which everyone's hoping that he does. And even if he takes a step back this upcoming year, we are expecting the salary cap to increase. So we're going to see that number balloon, you know, regardless of play, simply because he's the best of what's available. But for Tua's side, I mean, look, you just led the NFL in passing. So get your secured money now. Just had your second baby, you know, lock everything up. And then you really have nothing to worry about except staying healthy and playing football, which is
healthy is a big one in our case for the last couple of years. You know, here's the other thing, too. We're what, 3 weeks, actually probably 2.5 weeks away from the draft. And so there's a lot of players I've seen on Twitter and social media that the Dolphins are hosting a lot of players. Have you heard anything about maybe where the Dolphins might go on draft night? Or what are your thoughts of what you think the Dolphins should do on draft night, especially night one with pick number 21?
I mean, it's all about taking the best player available. And you want to – the league mandates a certain amount of players that you can have in and visit. And remember, this isn't a one-and-done type of situation. And you have head coach Mike McDaniel, who the players love, and players mm-hmm. remember him. So these visits – they know that they're not going to get some of these guys, but they want to get them in the facility. Remember, they can always trade for them later. And you hear Mike McDaniel and Chris Greer tell stories, hey, we wanted to draft this guy. He just wasn't available. We've kept tabs on him. And now we have a chance to get him 3 years later. So don't read into too much about who they're hosting. They'll tell you they need to take the best player available. But by position of need, this team needs help up front on the defensive line. And they need help on the offensive line simply because of the injuries that they have been dealing with. And you really don't know what Teron Armstead is going to give you. The expectation is probably that he plays 10 games. And when he plays, he is no doubt a Pro Bowl lineman, but you're hoping that he can stay healthy. So you want to protect Tua. That's your big investment. And then you just need to find people to replace Raekwon Davis. You need to find people to replace Christian Wilkins. We don't know what Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips will be at
Their social media makes it look like they're going to be ready come the beginning of the year.
Yeah, but social media makes me look like I'm 6'3". So, you know, it's social media. So for the record, everybody, I'm 5'10 and a half. So didn't quite make the 6 foot club.
I can't wait for somebody to meet you for the first time and say, you're not 6'3".
I know. No way. Yeah, just don't give me the Tom Cruise treatment, please. You know, but all his TV people. But the player that I really like, I don't think he's going to be there, is the center from Oregon, Powers Johnson. I think he would be the move. I can tell you with conviction that most likely Connor Williams will not play football this year. He is still dealing with that knee injury. He's represented by Drew. Drew's telling me, you know, he's still working through that. Other people that I've talked to, he's down almost 90 pounds. So I would expect Connor to take a year off of football to get his body right if he decides to come back from this knee injury. And this could be something that ends his career. He may never come back from this. I hope that that is not the case. You know, he's got to continue with his rehab and get healthy so that he can have a shot. Because when he was healthy, he was playing at a Pro Bowl level. It's just really unfortunate with what he did to that knee. And Actually, this brings up a really good question. Mike McDaniel does not like his offensive linemen playing with knee braces. He feels that it limits their mobility. And others, so here's a situation where you have a torn ACL on the offensive line. A lot of offensive linemen wear knee braces because of the weight that they do and the power in which they have to move their body. So obviously it's a freak accident. You know, you don't know why it gave. It could have been a myriad of factors, but there's something to look at, you know, as ACLs progress. And I can tell you that, you know, Shaq Barrett tore his Achilles, same injury as Jalen Phillips. And one of the big draws in coming here was that he would be playing on grass versus turf. So we know that the Dolphins play on grass. I believe Connor's injury happened here in Miami when he tore his ACL.
I just wanted to interject and say the funny, and it's not a funny thing, but the ironic thing is that the injury didn't even look that bad. Now, you've covered the Denver Broncos. You've covered the Green Bay Packers. You've obviously covered the Dolphins. Injuries are so fickle for players that some of the most extreme injuries that you think no way a player comes back from, they do. And then something that just doesn't look as bad. Like, look, Connor's injury just didn't look great, but it didn't look like something that was going to be career ending. It's just so weird to see those things.
Right. I mean, this is more than an ACL. I mean, his entire knee went. So we're talking MCL, we're talking multiple ligaments, and
that makes me question Javon Holland's injuries too from last year, you know, the both knees.
That's a different scenario. So the ACLs were not impacted there. MCL sprains, Javon didn't have surgery. And, you know, between me and you and obviously our listeners, you know, Javon is a young player. And I think it was more concerned about his long-term health, you know, realizing that he will be up for a contract this year. And look, you want to be out there with your brothers, but you also want to be healthy. And certain players, depending on what they do and how they cut, and, you know, everybody's body reacts differently. So to get back to the initial question, I would love to see Powers Johnson if he's available at 21. I don't think that he will be there, but this team needs a defensive end. This team needs an edge rusher. But as I've said numerous times on this show, the hardest players to find are big guys that can move. So if you have an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman that is available, that is who they should take. I understand everybody wants a wide receiver. This Odell Beckham talk, Tyler Boyd talk. So there are plenty of wide receivers in this draft. You can get a wide receiver later. I know it's a splash pick. Everybody plays fantasy, but you've got to find somebody that can play on the line, a big guy that can move, and you have to hit on this pick.
I like Big Dougie B's question here. Hashtag asked Dolphins. Is it more important for Miami to go O-line with the pick 21, as you were just talking about? But the reason I think this is a great question is because am I more worried about the O-line than the Dolphins? Because last year we were told unequivocally that the media and the fans were more worried about the O-line than the Dolphins were.
Yeah, I mean, look, you get Isaiah Wynn back. You know, he adds some depth. So I think ideally you don't want Liam Eichenberg playing center. So this team needs a center desperately. You're comfortable with Austin Jackson in the right tackle position, protecting Tua's blind side. They paid him money to be over there. Talked about Teron Armstead. You're realistically looking at him playing half the season. I think if he plays three quarters of the season, you know, that's huge. So now you've got Liam shifting over to guard. You need to replace a guard. Lester Cotton, maybe Isaiah Wynn can play that other tackle. Okay. So, you know, you still need another player.
I hope Isaiah Wynn is not going to be a starter for this upcoming season, because I feel like if he is, I like Isaiah. I'm glad he's here. He provides a lot of depth. But if the Dolphins are relying on him to be a starter, I don't know if we made the right moves in this offseason. That's how I feel about it.
Right. But I mean, you remember, this is the first time that Chris Greer has had a litany of picks. He's going to have all of his picks, plus he's going to get the compensatory picks. So if there's a player that he wants, we've seen Chris Greer do this in the past where he can package picks together to move up to get a player. So I could see them moving up from 21 if there's a player that they really like. And I could see them moving back from 21 to acquire more picks to get a player on day two to move back in. So I think, just
to be fair, the compensatory picks are for next year, but he can trade a current pick for this year with the understanding, hey, look, I'm going to get a pick. He understands he's going to get that future compensatory.
Yes. And, you know, it's about the salary cap. And, you know, you have to pay a player. It's guaranteed money in the first round. So you pay a player in the second round, it's a completely different contract. So we'll see what happens. But I think they need to go offensive or defensive line there. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got Johnny Smith as your tight end now. You've got Julian Hill back. You still got Durham Smythe, so I think you're kind of set there. You've got your receivers. I think there's better receivers that you can take later. Your backfield's pretty much set, so your needs are the big guys up front. And then I would always look at taking a cornerback or another safety, and you just hope that Cam Smith can show us something, and you hope that it's not a Igbinogheni situation once again.
You know, it's so interesting around this time of year because we talk about different players at draft. You know, we have a question here, hashtag Ask Dolphins. What do you think about Adonai, I hope I said his first name right, Mitchell at 21, if no edge rushers are on the board? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, look, he's a sexy name. It's just, what do you want to do as a draft pick? Do you want to take the best player available, or are you going to take by position of need? In talking to the general managers, you're going to take the best player available. So what I mean by that is they rank these players, you know, just like Mel Kiper does on his, you know, mock drafts that everybody gets to see. So it depends. I can tell you, though, that most teams, they have three or four guys that they're looking at. And if they know that they can find one of those players within that realm of picks, if they've got three guys left at 21, they're like, all right, let's move back because we know we can get one of the three players that we really like. So, but Adonai Mitchell's a great player. I think he has a chance to be a very special pro. And
again, if the Dolphins pick a wide receiver at 21, Josh, you already know what I'm going to say. I'm going to lose my mind.
I just said this. There are plenty of wide receivers that you can get later in the draft. And remember, you still have Eric Azukama coming off the neck injury. So he's still on the roster. So you know, we don't know what he's going to give you, but he looks good. So we'll see. I mean, he was a high draft pick. I think he was a fourth-round selection.
Last year, they said he had a great offseason. He improved. They said he learned the playbook a little bit more, and then we saw nothing from him again last year. So I just – you know,
but I mean, look at your wide receiver core. I mean, you've got five guys back. That includes River Craycraft. That includes Braxton Berrios. And you've got, you know, your two players in Tyreek and Waddle. But I think with this Jonnu Smith signing and with the growth of Julian Hill and Durham Smythe, I think you're going to see more 12 personnel. I think that teams figured out if they took away the middle of the field with the three wide receivers set, Tua struggled. So I think this is a different look. I think the offense is going to run a little bit differently now with that tight end being back in the system. So I expect Mike McDaniel to make that shift with the offense this year. But you've got to find guys that can get to the quarterback and guys that can protect the quarterback. That has to be the decision with that 21st overall pick, or else you trade it in my eyes.
That's another Miami Dolphins First Down podcast each and every Tuesday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you're watching us on YouTube, hit the like button. If you're watching us on Twitter, come over to YouTube. Subscribe to the channel. A lot of great content. Here's something that you kind of discussed about the wide receiver being a deep class. And I know we've talked about it on the show before, but let's get an update if we can. Is Odell Beckham going to be a Miami Dolphin? Because according to Tyreek's Instagram or Snapchat, it is. But he, you know, Odell goes on to say, did I sign somewhere and not know it? What's the deal with Odell Beckham Jr. and him potentially being a Miami Dolphin?
So let's start by saying that Tyreek Hill calls himself an instigator. So he did his best to campaign. This is all about money with Beckham. And I talked about this on Lexus Sports Extra with Drew Rosenhaus Sunday night. You know, Odell is a premier player. He's aging out. He has the ACL, but you know, he is a player that wants to get paid. And so it's simply about the money. So you can add all of the incentives that you want. You know, Odell has interest from multiple teams. So he has to make a decision. Am I going to take less money like we've seen most of these other players do to come to Miami and play in Miami this year? We know that Odell loves Miami. Mm-hmm. We know that he's close with a couple players on this team. And this seemingly would be a great fit for him. But you also have to take care of your family. And it's hard to question. Like, look at Andrew Van Ginkel. You know, I mean, here's a player that was beloved here, was drafted here, wanted to stay here. But when Minnesota paid him a lot more money, you have to go get your money. So, Odell, it's going to be about the money. And if the Dolphins can come up a little bit and he can come down. But it also depends on the draft, too. It's like they may take a wide receiver. It depends on the board.
That's what I was about to say. I was like, the draft's going to play a lot of where these free agents that are remaining are going to go because teams are going to, you know, realize what they got. And here's as far as the Dolphins are concerned, Josh, I think a lot of veterans, at least through the second wave of free agency, are going to have to come to the realization that I'm either going to go to Miami and try to win a Super Bowl and try and understand that I'm not going there to get paid, because Odell guaranteed has better contracts on the table. But if he picks us, it's because he wants to come play with Tua and play here. If he picks somewhere else, you can say, look, he wanted to get paid more and that was more important to him. And I don't think that's unfair to say.
No, I mean, you know, it's about fit. And, you know, I think his personality fits. I mean, there's a lot of personalities on this team. And I think Odell would be fun to cover in the locker room, you know. But look, an offer has been made. So, you know, it's up to him to decide what he wants to do.
Kim Kardashian would be here, too. I mean, that's an up, right?
No. Yeah. Well, yeah. So I believe that they broke up, but she,
the whole year of Taylor Swift, Josh, we might as well get our own star in South Florida. Okay.
Well, Kim's here a lot doing stuff with Dave Gruttman, and you know, she's been in a couple Inter Miami games. So shout out to the 818 in Calabasas back home. So for the people that are watching from home, but you know,
I love it.
We gotta win some football games. I really don't care who, you know, who's in the stands. So, you know, Jordan Poyer, got a chance to talk to him. Really cool dude. So, you know, you can shout out his wife, Rachel Bush. So she can be great. our Kardashian. Great. I love how she's been interacting with fans, and his daughter's been awesome. But, you know, for me, it's about the football. I mean, you've had really good teams. You've made the playoffs 2 years in a row now. It's time to get the monkey off the back and win a playoff game for the first time in 24 years. So I think you win this division. I think the Bills are on the decline. I think the Patriots are trying to figure out an identity, and you really don't know what the Jets are, but you never want to count out Aaron Rodgers. But, you know, they're trying to pull together a bunch of older players to try to make a run. So, you know, I think honestly right now this is the Dolphins division to lose, and I would expect them to, you know, hopefully win one playoff game. And look, I mean, we've talked about it. You beat the Titans on that Monday Night Football matchup last year. You're resting players in week 18 against the Bills. You're hosting a playoff game. And you're hosting a playoff game. And I think in that situation, you know, you're on to the divisional round out of the wild card round.
You know, here's something that's interesting. You brought up the rest of the AFC East, right? The rest of the AFC period is kind of crazy right now. Just to kind of discuss that a little bit. Go look at Pittsburgh, right? They have Fields and Russell Wilson both at quarterback. Who knows what's going to happen there? Cleveland obviously doing what they do. The Houston Texans making a trade to get Stephon Diggs from Buffalo. I'm going to tell you right now, that Houston team is stacked and crazy. And then the AFC South period, like, look, you got Richardson up in Indy, Trevor Lawrence down in Jacksonville. Tennessee's also, look, I don't know if they're a pushover. Levi, but it's the AFC period got so much stronger this offseason. Would you agree?
Yes. And I mean, I would say dating back to last season, I think the AFC had, you know, three teams that were better than the San Francisco 49ers, who was the best team in the NFC.
Baltimore Ravens, Kansas City Chiefs.
I think the Bills were there if they were healthy with Matt Milano. And I think honestly, if the Dolphins played at home, like, I think they had a chance to beat the 49ers if they were healthy. They just weren't healthy. But now you throw Joe Burrow back in the mix. You can't forget about him, and he's completely different. Yep. So to me, the toughest division is the AFC North. I think those are four legitimate teams, and they're going to beat up on each other. You know, Cleveland's going to Cleveland, but you know, if you look at their roster, it's loaded. But I think the Texans are going to be the most interesting team to watch simply because of how they ended last year and how good their young players are. When you get players on rookie deals, especially from that second to third year, that's expected to be the biggest jump. And with their new coach down there, I think he was a perfect fit. He's done a phenomenal job. I love the culture that they're building. And then the players that they brought in, they want to be there. I think that they have a chance to win the division. I would watch them as a team. I think they make the playoffs again. So it's going to be a gauntlet through that AFC.
100%.
Yeah. And I mean, the Raiders are improved. I really don't know what's going to happen with the Chargers with Jim Harbaugh in his first year in charge.
Don't count out Harbaugh. Like, I'm not saying they're going to be Super Bowl contenders, but he's a football mastermind, right?
Excuse me. Yeah, John. Yeah, you know? So he's back, and you've got a healthy quarterback now. So, you know, you don't know what they're going to give you. And then, you know, Denver's a mess. So I would kind of discount them at this point. So I think you're kind of like, you've got Denver, you've got Tennessee maybe holding up the bottom when you look at the rosters. And if
how do you in covering your teams over the three teams you've covered, Denver, Green Bay, and Miami, and mm-hmm. obviously just being a sports fan, period, Josh. Especially you listen to fans all the time, and we're always measuring ourselves against the rest of the competition. You said it yourself, the Dolphins were decimated by injuries the last 2 years. So when Dolphins fans are having conversations about how do we stack up, are we really Super Bowl contenders, we haven't won a playoff game, what is your measuring stick? Do you measure against what other teams have done and their accomplishments, or do you measure I guess the potential success of a team based on roster, coaching? Look, this is a strong team. Let's not think they're not just because they haven't won a playoff game.
Yeah, I mean, it's multifactorial for sure. I think last year has nothing to do like with what their record was, because it's a completely new team, and now you have a new defensive coordinator with Anthony Weaver. Yep. And, you know, I think Mike McDaniel made strides in his second year. He's just more comfortable where there are a lot of mistakes made. Yes, especially on replays. But when you're third year, you kind of get the feel of it. And now it's his third year with Tua. You've got Tyreek. You've got Waddle. You know, there's a lot of pieces. It's obviously every team needs holes filled every single year. But you kind of get a feel for teams. And, you know, it's about keeping the core together. And then you hope that the young players can ascend. And then you hope that you can pick up a couple free agents to fill the holes from the players that left. That's kind of how I gauge the roster. But, you know, then again, like, injuries play a huge part. Yeah. The players say it's cliche, but it's a week-to-week league because you never know who's going to get hurt. We saw it 2 years ago with Tua and the concussions. We saw it last year in the, you know, fourth quarter of the season when ACLs and Achilles and everything just blew up. So, yeah. So, I mean, you know, the Ravens, I see this right here from Carlos. I mean,
he's right.
It was. But it also talks about the greatness of Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. And I wouldn't bet against those guys. I mean, look at the roster that the Chiefs had. I mean, this is arguably the worst roster they've had.
The regular season, they were so mediocre. And I was like, no way they're going to go back to back. And then they found another level in the postseason because they've been there before and they have Patrick Mahomes.
Well, yeah, it was also the Ravens, like the way that they played defensively, which is ironic because now Weaver's here in Miami. But I think it was a terrible defensive strategy by the DC in Baltimore. And I think Anthony Weaver will learn from that. He was obviously the defensive line coach, so he wasn't the DC. But Steve Spagnuolo is a mastermind defensively to shut down Lamar Jackson like he did. And, you know, that's where coaching and being there before, you know, really helps. So, you know, but again, Baltimore is loaded again. They reloaded. So, you know, that's a team to really watch. And it's going to be very interesting to see who stays healthy. And the goal is to try to stack as many wins early so that you can deal with that adversity in the middle of the season. And then, you know, you hope that the schedule is favorable. Like, luckily this year, you know, there weren't 3 weeks where the Dolphins were on the road. And that happened in November, December last year when they run on that 7-game losing streak. Mm-hmm. So you're hoping for a little bit of luck. And luckily there's no international game this year for the Dolphins. So I think helps their favor. Yeah. But I mean, you're looking at a couple West Coast road trips. So, you know, you're looking for
going up to Green Bay this year, going to Green Bay. That's not a December or late November game or January for that matter.
Right. Like, and the beginning of the year. Yeah. And I mean, that's why.
When does the schedule get released? A couple weeks after the
May 9th is the date. So it's April 9th. So we're about a month out. So we've got the draft and we'll have that. And then everything else will come together. So, yeah, it's kind of the dead period, quote unquote, until the draft right now. But, you know, there's always moves being made behind the scenes. And this is when players are working out. Jordan Poyer is out here with Bomberitos. Aaron Jones just ran into him the other day. So I think the coolest thing for fans that are watching is Miami not only has become a bigger football town because of the success of the Dolphins, but all the players love coming down here in the offseason. A lot of players have homes here, and it's cool to kind of be out and about because they're all training here as a destination. And, you know, everybody talks. They call it a fraternity. So, you know, players know what's going on around the league. And, you know, yes, there's a part of it where, you know, you're going to go get your bag. You're going to, you know, secure your family's future, hopefully for multiple generations. You know, and then there's the other side where, you know, you can understand that you've made a little bit of money or you're comfortable. And now you're, you know, going to go chase wins or you're going to go chase a quality of life, you know, versus living in Cleveland or Buffalo. You want to live in Miami and just enjoy yourself and play for the Dolphins, who got the number one rating from the NFL Players Association on organizations to be a part of this last year.
I love it. I love it. Hey, look up. We're against the clock. You got a lot going on. Before I let you go and you tell everybody where what you got going on, Masters are this week. Who's your pick, man? I need to know who your pick is for the Masters.
I mean, it's hard to go against Scottie Scheffler. He's the favorite right now, just the way that he's been playing. I really like his game. I'm going to throw a random name out there from the LIV Tour. Joaquin Niemann has been playing phenomenally, and he would be a player to watch. He's got this really cool, like, torquey swing, so he's just kind of a fun name to throw in there. And then I got to go with my fraternity brother who's playing in the Masters this year, Stuart Hagestad. He won the amateur. He's got no chance of winning it, but kind of
hey, cool man, event. Shout out to him. Shout out, Stuart.
He's there.
Make the final, you know, the final day and get deep and, you know.
Yeah, and shout out Fred. Shout out Fred Couples. The man's 64 years old. He has the potential to make the cut, which would be incredible considering how far back they've moved the tees. But at 64 years old to be doing what he's doing, I hope I'm in that, you know, shape, you know, 30 years from now. But, you know, we'll see what happens. It's obviously one of the best weekends of the year. And yeah, man, golf is special. Got the Masters flag behind me.
I know. I'm excited for it, man. It's my favorite time of year.
And, I don't care if you're not a golf fan. If you can enter the lottery every year, just go to Augusta for one day, a practice round. It doesn't matter. It is a sports bucket list item that if you get a chance to do it, you will not regret it. It is a once in a lifetime experience. And I highly, highly recommend if you get a chance to go to take advantage.
I might go see LeBron on Friday night, just to let you know, the greatest of all time. We're not going to go there. We don't have to go. We're running out of time, Josh. We have no more time to hear what you're going to have to say as a rebuttal. Tell the people where they can find you, Josh.
You guys can find me at the Mo's Knows. My last name is pronounced Moser, so I'm a reporter, so the Mo's Knows. You can watch me weeknights here on WSVN in Miami. We've got an app so you can stream everything live, and you'll be watching me follow the Panthers and Heat around during the playoffs. And then every Sunday night, I've got my special half-hour sports show with Drew Rosenhaus from 11:30 to midnight. If you're on vacation in the Caribbean or you're out in the Keys, you can also catch our show, but it's really easy. Just go to WSVN.com. You hit stream live, and I'll post a lot of stuff here on Dolphins Talk just to kind of keep you guys in the loop with the behind-the-scenes agent-type stuff. And then let's hope that the Dolphins can finally win a playoff game. And Tuesday night, 7:30, the place to be here with Stephen D. And, man, I'm always pumped to be right here every week.
Hey, man, you can follow me at Stephen D. SKPL. Spread kindness, positivity, and love. Make sure you guys follow us. Hit the like button. Right after this is Fin Factor. Make sure you guys stay tuned here on Dolphins Talk for that great podcast. It'll be coming up in about 15 minutes. Till the next time, peace.
I know the whole city, right? A little early, it's a bit surprising. Business moves, now we enterprise. Switch it up, now.